Okay, there we go. I'm excited to hear her speak. So, Mrs. Hedgepath, you come and give us what the Lord has laid on your heart.
Crack one of those right now. Maybe it will still my shaking hands, you know. So, good morning, ladies, and I'd like to thank Second Baptist Church and the ladies here. I know that this conference doesn't just put itself together, so we want to thank them for all their hard time, all the work and they put into it and everything. And I, after coming many years, it's a blessing to me, and I'm hoping that it's a blessing to everyone else, that you get something from it, from one or more of the speakers or from the singer. The singer's already blessed me. Some of the songs were just spoke right to my heart, calmed me down a little bit, and but I think especially your song and everything, so all the good times and all the bad times, and that's a little bit about what I'm speaking about today. But anyways, I'd just like to thank you for allowing me to be part of it this year. For those of you that do not know me, I'm Christy Hedgepath. I was born and raised in Maine. I don't know if I still have a Maine accent or not. I lived here for 18 years, and then I left to join the Navy. And I served the Navy for 11 years, traveled around the world, and found the love of my life and my husband. He was in the Navy also, and we have been married now for 32 years. We have two sons, Douglas and Dustin, and now they're grown, and they have families of their own. So, I came to know the Lord as my Savior when I lived in Florida. My husband was an active duty Navy officer, and he bought me a very nice house to live in while he went out to sea for extended lengths of time. The house had a security system, so I would be safe while he was gone. That and his 357 Ruger. There's stories about that too. But nothing could give me the security I needed until I found Christ. I had Christian neighbors. The whole time I was in the Navy, people witnessed to me, but you pass it off. It's not part of your life. It's not... was not the thing to do when I was in the Navy. So to have Christian neighbors invite me to go to church, the Lord had laid it on my heart when I had a child. I didn't want that child to grow up with a void that I had. I knew that if I walked into a church, I'd walk into the wrong door, I would sing the wrong song, I would sit in the wrong seat. I just knew I wouldn't fit in because that wasn't how I was brought up. And I didn't want my child to be grown up. It's the Lord dealing with you in that, because it wasn't in me to want to go to church, but I didn't want my child to grow up not knowing the Lord. So I had some Christian neighbors that invited me to church, and I went with them, and about 6 months later, we had an evangelist that came in. Now, I'm at a Southern Baptist church, and this evangelist that came in was an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing evangelist. Back then, they didn't, I don't know how they do it now, but back then, they did not have an altar call until later on in the services. They wanted to get a hold of your heart. And so for the first three nights, I sat there, and by the third night, I went home crying. I didn't know what was going on, but it was the Lord dealing with my heart. He was putting my sin before me, and my heart was heavy, but I didn't understand that what was going on. But by the fourth night, they had the altar call, and I couldn't wait to get down there. I think I leaped over the pews. If I remember in my mind, I couldn't get to the front fast enough. But I'd also like to say, it's not going down and making a prayer and somebody leading you in prayer and taking you to the back room that saves you. God had already dealt with my heart on Wednesday night when I was heavy with the burden. And then coming in on Thursday night and being called, going down and surrendering my life. That was my salvation. It wasn't the prayer that I saved. It wasn't going forward so everybody else saw me. It was that. But my sins were so heavy on me. I still think of the time of when the Lord saved me and my life before that. So the Lord filled my heart with His love. But reflecting back on that Salvation Day sometimes just makes me so sad, because I know I have failed Him and I haven't always lived, like the feeling that you get when you're first saved, you're so washed and you're clean. But we don't always live like that day to day. And so sometimes I really feel like I have failed the Lord. Has my life always been worry-free and without any problems since salvation? Salvation doesn't take that away. We're still in this world. We still bear those burdens. But you know what? I don't need that security system. I don't need that Ruger. Because I'm now safe with my Savior. Today, I'd like to talk to you about the Lord's calling on my family to plant an independent, fundamental Bible Baptist church in Maine. Yes, I'm from Maine, but I wasn't living in Maine at the time. So I've titled this, Stepping Out on Faith, For Nothing Shall Be Impossible Unto You. And Acts 4:20 tells us, For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. This is personal to me because it's something that happened to me. So I have seen and heard. And the Lord laid this on my heart. When Joey asked me if I would speak, I was thinking, oh, you don't know how I don't like it out in front of people. But also, I was so cold in the Lord at that time. And we can walk through, we can put on the Christian walk, and people don't know what we're going through or where our heart is. But I was so cold in the Lord at that time, and I'm thinking, Lord, how am I ever going to get up in front of all those ladies, cold and dead as I am? And I prayed about it, and the Lord said, well, then get in my word. And so when Joey asked me if I had prayed about it, if I would speak, I said yes, because I knew it's what I needed. I needed that kick, that if I was going to get up here, I needed him. I couldn't get up here and me. So thank you, Joy, because it is what helped me get over that, because we can get content and being cold. We can get content and serving the Lord or just coming in and sitting on a pew, and everyone doesn't see the inside of you. They see the outside of you, and you can put on that fake exterior. So let's pray, and I'll see if I can slow down. I am from Maine, so I can speak fast. It's a matter of whether you can hear fast. In the Navy, that was the joke, you know. So I was from Maine, and people would always like me to speak and say my R's. So, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask, my Lord, that you would help me, my Lord, to give this message as you gave it to me. My Lord, I pray it would be a blessing to others to hear your calling on someone's life and how you brought them through. Lord, we just ask that you would just open our ears, calm my heart, my speech, and my stammering lips, my Lord, that this would be a blessing. I ask this in the name of your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So our verse today, well, actually, when this was the topic was the world, the impossible, I looked up a few things. Well, what does the world say is impossible? Did you know that it's impossible to count the number of hairs on your head? Well, I got a thick head of hair, so I think it would be pretty impossible. My husband is almost bald. I probably couldn't count his, but it's impossible to lose weight just by thinking of it. Wouldn't that be nice? It's impossible to travel through time to the past or the future. And it's impossible to get yesterday back or to change the past. And it's impossible to have two mountains without a valley. When I was preparing this message, or when I thought I was preparing this message, I thought I was preparing a message that had to do with sheep, mountains, and valleys. And that's I downloaded a couple of books on my Kindle. I'm reading all these books. And my pastor was preaching on different things about mountains and valleys and sheep. And I thought, this is just what I'm laid on my heart. And I think it was for my own growth, because when I got with the Lord, he changed it. And this is the message that he gave me, was this calling on my family. So Matthew 17:20 says, I know it's, the verse has already been read, but it's our theme verse for today. I'll wait till I hear some pages stop flipping. And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. But this message is not about the impossible, but the possible made through our faith in the Lord. So I've titled each little section, so hopefully it doesn't get confusing to you. The first part is called The Preparation. After God saved me in Florida, it took about another 7 years for my husband to get saved. Yes, we would go to church, and my husband would usually pick the church, and he was raised in a Pentecostal church, so guess where we would go? A Pentecostal church. And then we had our infant son, Dustin, and my husband would take my son and go to the nursery and leave me out there, and I was saved in a Baptist church. You know, I mean, even a Southern Baptist church, which could even be very stiff. And, I had to get it very uncomfortable when they would call everybody down front and lay hands on them and start speaking in tongues. But we did go to church. Sometimes we would go to a Southern Baptist church. By this time, we were living in Virginia, and they would be dead as nails. So just going to a church doesn't help you grow, especially if you're not getting fed by the Lord. During this time frame, Ray flew down to Texas to go hunting with his brothers, and his youngest brother, Randy, died unexpectedly before he'd even seen him. He passed away of a heart attack, and Ray was staying at his mother's house, so he traveled over to his brother's house to see his brother. His body was laid on the kitchen floor, and before they took him, my husband wanted to go see him. And God spoke to my husband about his brother laying there, and he said, "Your brother, who was once a drug addict, who was recently born again, is now safe in heaven with me, but what about you?" So my husband was very successful. He was an officer in the Navy. He had wrote a book for the Navy. He had a good job, but he didn't have the Lord. And he was raised in church, but it was a Pentecostal church, and he probably got baptized quite a few times with all the other frogs there, but he didn't know the Lord. So God spoke to his heart and changed his heart right there. He didn't get saved right there, but God spoke to him about his need. And when he came home, we started going to a church. This time, it was the church that God led us to. It was a church that we drove by every time we went to Walmart. And I don't know how often you guys go to Walmart, but we went to Walmart quite often. And it just so happened to be a fundamental, independent, Bible-believing church. We drove by this church all the time. So we drove over there and went in, and they were so loving, so kind. They just brought us in. We felt so comfortable. And Pastor Wharton preached the paint off the walls. And my husband was like, "Well, she ain't going to like this." So we got out to the van, and he looked at me, and he says, "So, what did you think?" And I said, "I really liked it." And then we turned to our boys and we thought, you know, an 8 and 5 year old, "Well, what did you think? You know, hey, these are two little boys. They're not going to like this church." We liked it. So this is because when the Lord leads you there, it's the right place. And that's where the Lord led us. We stayed there and grew there. And by December, my husband was saved. And by April, he was in Bible college. God continued to work on me and show me his mercy and his grace. He groomed Ray and I in the ministry, teaching us about church finances, discipleship, children's ministry. He taught Sunday school. I taught junior church. We both did, we had a nursing home ministry that every Sunday, we would go over to different nursing homes, either at the hospital or there was one right across the road from us. And so less than a month had 5 Sundays. Every Sunday, we were working with the Lord and just busy, busy, busy. Then, nothing shall be impossible unto you, because God can do the impossible. He already found us a church. He already saved my husband, brought us to a fundamental independent Baptist church, and now the growth starts. The calling. Ray went on a missions trip with BIMI and our pastor down to the Dominican Republic. And what an eye-opener that was. It's a totally different life than what we have here in the United States. He saw God's wonderful power working on the lives of those down there. They had so little, but they loved God so much. Down there, they had what they call gas malls, and they were huge gas stations. And they went to hand out tracts. And people would stop pumping their gas right there, and they would read the tract. And when you would look around, and there would not be a track at all on the ground. It's so unlike what you would see here, where people don't want to be bothered. I don't know you. Why are you talking to me? but they would actually read the tract there and ask questions. And there was also a pastor down there that had just built a church, and it had no windows. And someone that was on this missions trip brought a window down. And my husband's thinking, but it's just one window. But the pastor said, it's one window to begin with. But every time somebody comes, they add another window. And so we have so much and have God so little. Down there, they have so little, but they love God so much. One of Ray's college professors had come to Maine on vacation, and he met a couple that had to drive 3 hours to get to a good church. Knowing that I was from Maine, this college professor told Ray about his trip and about these people he had met. And from that moment on, God put the burden on my husband's heart that we needed to be in Maine. God wanted him to call him to a foreign mission field, but God had another call for our family. He had home missions. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." My husband's from Texas, and he was stationed here in Maine, and he hated it. He talks about one time of him jumping in the water, and because the water was so cold, he was able to walk out on top, is how he puts it. So believe me, taking this Texas man and moving him to the North full of Yankees was definitely a miracle of God. There's still times when Ray will tell you, just like the verse I just read ends with, even unto the end of the world, God would say Maine is at the end of the world. But nothing shall be impossible unto you, because God can do the impossible. When God is ready to move you, he'll make you very uncomfortable. He'll make your situation uncomfortable. And this is how he had to dig us out of our home church. We had been there for about 5 years. So we had already purchased my parents' house up here in Maine, thinking that when my husband retired, this is where we would retire at. Even though he didn't like Maine, we were still coming here. But before we could leave Virginia, we had to sell our house. And it had been on the market for 3 years, not a bite, not anybody coming through. It was not moving. And of course, it's not going to move until the Lord is ready for you to move. Meanwhile, Ray completed Bible college, and I was homeschooling the boys, and we all just continued faithfully serving in our church. But waiting on the Lord can be hard. We were chomping at the bit. We knew we were called to Maine. We wanted to come up here, so we felt unproductive. But God was still working on us, and we didn't recognize it. He had things he still had to teach us. You know, we still had to have some hard times to go through and some growth. So we weren't as ready as we thought we were. Ray had started getting asked to preach at more and more other churches, filling in pulpits for vacationing pastors or for empty pulpits. And eventually, because we were gone so often, we gave up our positions teaching Sunday school and junior church and doing the finances. So we gave up those ministries and let somebody else take over. And so we had been at our church, like I said, about 5 years at the time God started making us uncomfortable. The first thing that made us uncomfortable was our pastor announced that he was retiring and moving to North Carolina. So we're leaving, and now our pastor at the church is leaving, and someone else is coming in. We'd also been busy and always involved in ministries at the church and at the nursing home, and now we weren't involved in that, so we felt kind of left out. And then one of our precious older saints had passed away, and we weren't even informed of the funeral. We found out about it just in time to go, but we felt, you know, no one even let us know that she had passed away. So we started feeling hurt and angry, left out and forgotten. It was almost like they had counted us gone and we hadn't even left yet. They didn't even miss us. It's almost like, okay, you know, because we stopped ministering there. But you know what? This was the Lord working on us. Silently we were mad. We were actually looking at, well, maybe we should go find another church. After praying to the Lord, we finally realized what he was doing. He was making us uncomfortable. He was severing some of those relationships that we had in the church, because you can get really close to the people in your church. They're your brothers and your sisters. He was severing those relationships, so when we left, it would be a little bit easier to leave. It wasn't comfortable, and it hurt, but we felt it was more like Satan working on us. But actually, you know, it was the Lord. You know, he can make you uncomfortable. Not everything is pleasant. When the time came for us to go, when the Lord sold our house, it happened just like overnight. No bite for like 3 years. And then we were the Masters Club. I don't know if any of you know about the Masters Club, but my children were in Masters Club. And we went over to Fredericksburg for a Masters Club event. And when we came back, someone had visited our house, liked it, bought it, and wanted us out in 45 days. Just like that. Remember, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. God can do the impossible. The move. Ray had already retired from the Navy about this time and was working as a government employee, so he gave his notice, and he gave him a month, said that he would be done by the end of May. So in April, with the help of our church, we packed up our house that we had lived in for 9 years, accumulated a lot of junk. We had been in the military, so this is the longest we'd ever lived anywhere. After moving every 2 to 3 years in the military, 9 years was a long time. We had stuff stowed everywhere. It took forever to pack up that house, but with the faithful few that came over to help us to clean it and get moved out, then we drove up to Maine with a moving van, our truck, and I drove the van. So a caravan of us moved up to Maine, then they moved the boys and I to Maine. Ray returns back to Virginia to work out his notice. In June, we began deputation. I don't know how many of you have ever been on deputation, but you're at the mercy of others to either call you in or to give your presentation. And just a minute, I'm getting a little dry here. But we didn't need a lot. We had my husband's retirement, so that would finance us. What we needed was just to be able to finance the church, to rent a building and to stand up the church. So we visited a few churches that knew, mostly ones that said that they would pray for us, but we knew prayer was very important. We could not stand up this church or plant this church without the Lord. So prayer, even if they couldn't support us, would be very important. So we stopped in West Virginia, and these folks here became very precious to us. Then the other two churches, the other areas we went to was Texas and Oklahoma, because that's where my husband's from. And so his family that went to church wanted us to come and present our ministry there and our calling there. So that's where we went. The one that really stands out to me today was this one church that we went to that we weren't there to do a presentation. It was Father's Day, and the pastor wasn't holding regular services, but they were just having a testimony service and then a special meal for the men. And the pastor invited Pastor Hedgehog. So, our name is Hedgepath, but, you know, it gets really confusing. So, our boys like that. So, he invited my husband up to present his ministry there. And believe it or not, the church didn't take us on for support. But the youth did. The youth, because my two sons were there, really had a burden for these two boys leaving their home church and all their friends and going to Maine. Yes, it's that door right there. So they collected through the month, and then they would send us what they had collected for that month. And for 2 years, they supported us. What an encouragement they were for us, our boys. For Christmas, they would even send our boys gifts and everything. So you can't discount the little ones. They had a burden for us also. Arriving in Maine. After a month or so on the road, I traveled from one church to another. God finally was heading us to Maine. As we traveled here and passed this church here, and your sign out there, Pastor Chuck Barnes at the time, had put on there, Welcome Hedgepath Family, planting a church in Belfast, and gave out our number, our phone number. So, you would think that would be a positive, right? Right. Well, the motto in Belfast at the time was, if you want to go to Hellfast, go to Belfast. So they have a Wiccan church in Belfast. I don't know if you didn't know that. So it wasn't long before we started getting calls where the phone would ring constantly. We'd answer it and there'd be nobody there. And then with that open line, they would pray against you. So when we found out that that's what was happening, we said, so that's how it works. So when they would call, then we would have Bible scripture, and we would pray in the line. Well, that quickly stopped. So we spent the month of July planting the seed and letting the community know why we're there, what we stood for. Second Baptist was our like sister church. They took us under the wings. They helped us hand out tracts, door knocking, visitation. And there's also provided a place for us to come and get encouraged and a place to worship. And as we stood at the church. And I remember these two young ladies here, just little, when we and Tracy, was that?
I remember Louise said that the way the sign was. I'm like, I remember that.
Yeah. So this church here has been always been very special to us. It helped us really in planting the church. And it always was a retreat for us. And we served here on Wednesdays even, coming over. And we did something similar to a master's club that we did. Next on the list was finding a place to meet. So Cornerstone's first church, the church that we planted was called Cornerstone Bible Baptist Church, or CBBC. And the first place that we turned out to meet was a Grange Hall in Northport. And most of the people that God sent our way during that early years would say, you're just what we've been praying for. We know God sent you here. But they didn't last and they didn't stay. So it wasn't really what they were looking for. Sadly today, most of those people aren't in a church at all. So the next place we were there for about 8 months. And the next place that God sent us was a storefront in Belfast, which had previously been a dentist's office. Yes, there was water in every room. So the God could take that dentist's office with much labor and make it into a gathering place for his saints. And remember, and nothing shall be impossible unto you, because God can do the impossible. He can take a storefront and make it into a church. Living by faith. We are now living in Maine, homeschooling our boys, and working the work of the ministry. Should be easy, right? Wrong. Satan didn't want a church planted in Maine. He didn't want it in the Midcoast area. He didn't want us homeschooling our boys. And he surely didn't want us working and changing the hearts of the people. I don't know about you, but living in Maine is a lot different than living in Virginia. The gas was more expensive, food was more expensive, electricity is more expensive. It just wasn't the same, and soon we found out that we couldn't make the bills. And when I told my husband 1 month that we came up short, he said, well, just take it out of the school fund. And then he said to the Lord, Lord, if you want me to, I can get a job. So where was our faith then? But that afternoon, Doug went out to the mailbox, and he came back with a letter. And there was a letter from one of Ray's college professors that said, we thought you might be needing this about now. And enclosed was a check for $1,000.
Wow. So,
God knew our need. That envelope had been in the mail long before we needed it. Many times the Lord provided for us in this way, so much so that my son Douglas would say, I don't know what you're worried about. Just go check the mailbox. God did many miracles for us in those days. And it seemed like when you don't need God, it seems like when you don't have much, God is there to meet your needs. But when you are not struggling so much to survive, the miracles seem to diminish. But they're still there. We just don't recognize them as much. And again, remember, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. God can do the impossible. He just wants us to know that he is the God of the possible. Then God added to the church. In those early days and years, the church was amazing. Looking back now and reflecting on all the good times, surely makes up for all the hard and tearful times. When we left down in Virginia, Pastor Wharton had told my husband that he would have to cry a 55 barrel full of tears just to lay the first stone. And that surely felt true. Many a days my husband cried over the area and the people. They would break his heart. They would leave the church. But some wouldn't leave without having to take somebody else with them or leave wounded behind. And this really weighs heavy on a pastor and their family when people come. And it would be nice if they could just leave. But it must be man's kind that they have to spread their discontent to others and take somebody or leave somebody wounded behind. And I guess it's sad that that's some of my memories of the church and the hard times. But you know, God is mightier than Satan, and he always brought us through, and many souls were saved and turned to the Lord. We still have some of those members with us that started with the storefront. They have been faithful and have encouraged us through the best and worst of times. God's grace has shone upon us from the beginning of his calling, all the way back when I got saved down in Florida, before I ever knew, and I felt so inadequate. I look at your pastors, a lot of pastors' wives, and they can sing, they can play the piano. I can't do either. You could give me the deepest bucket and I couldn't carry a tune. So I didn't feel that this was my calling, that God could work on me. But he did. He encouraged me and helped me become a pastor's wife to work with him. The next part is planted by the rivers of water. The church stayed in the storefront for about 3 years. And then we moved to Northport and then to Prospect. But 4 years ago, the Lord called my husband. I spoke with my husband and said that he was leading him to find somebody else to take over the work. My husband had had many surgeries, and so one pastor, God brought Brandon Pelkey to our church one time to fill in while he was having recovering from one of his many surgeries. And after getting to know the Pelkey family, Ray felt led of God to ask him to become the pastor. So the church prayed, we prayed, and the Pelkey family prayed. And God's will was done, and Brandon Pelkey became the first indigenous pastor of Cornerstone Bible Baptist Church, being a native of Maine. My husband's from Texas. So we feel like when you hear of foreign missions and they plant a church and they turn it over to a native, this is how we felt that the Lord had done here. God called us to plant CBBC, but he also called the Pelkey family to feed and water the church. Through God's grace, the church continues to grow. God is doing amazing things. Last year, Cornerstone was able to purchase the old Stockton Springs Elementary School. God provided the finances for that. The church, that building went up, and it was valued at over $1.5 million. God provided the funds for us to purchase it at $130,000. It's a huge building, but God has so much potential for that. Now, no more renting and no more moving. Cornerstone has been planted. Cornerstone has seen God's grace and many blessings in this past year. During one of the meetings over there at the new building, we had a member pray for children. We didn't have a whole lot of children. I think the only children were the Pelkey's children at the time. So the Lord added these children to our church along with their parents, and now the church is just singing with the voices of these children that can't wait to come to church on Sunday and Wednesday. They're always bugging their parents, is it Sunday, is it Wednesday, can we go to church? So what a blessing. This is God building his future in the church. Ray and I continue to be members of Cornerstone. They graciously have allowed us to stay. Ray fills the pulpit there when needed, or he goes to other churches as he's called. And we travel a lot. We have an RV, and we like to go to Texas and travel, and we visit other churches down there. And because of COVID, a lot of these churches have lost their attendance. People are staying home, they're either video conferencing or whatever. And it's really sad to say that a lot of these, the young people that aren't coming out, the older people are still going to the churches. So we stop in and visit these churches, and it's such an encouragement to us, but it's such an encouragement to these churches too, to be a blessing and an encouragement. God's planting of Cornerstone Bible Baptist Church was 19 years ago. This coming August in 2002 will be 20 years that the church has been planted. So we'll be celebrating our anniversary next year. Amazing things can happen when God's people let him work on us, in us, and on us. So remember, nothing shall be impossible unto you. God can do the impossible. And then I remind you of Acts 4:20, for we can but speak the things which we have seen and heard. This is how the Lord's working in my life and his calling. Thank you very much.
Amen.
you, Mrs. Hedgepath. I wrote down a few things while she was talking. She mentioned that check in the mail and how God, it was already on the way before they even knew they needed it. And I'm reminded of the story of Zacchaeus and how short he was, and how I always think of Amos because Amos, bless his heart. We pick on him. He's like our brother. But he did a little skit for VBS one year, and he was, I don't know why he pretended to be short because he's already short, but he got up here and he was on his knees and he had shoes on his knees and his arms were pulled in and he looked like a little person. And he did this whole story about Zacchaeus. So when I was writing this down, I was kind of laughing a little bit because that reminded me of him. But before Zacchaeus ever needed to see Jesus, a tree was already planted and growing. So a lot of times before we even know our need, or before a need arises or something arises where we need to be able to see Jesus, there's already a tree growing. He's already planted something or given a person a burden or something to help us out. So that was important. When she mentioned that, I just kept thinking of all the things, you know, before I even knew I needed something, someone, you know, was handing me something, or God was saying, I've already provided that, and God's grace is ever present. And then she was talking about not feeling equipped to be a pastor's wife. I still feel that way. And I was reminded of a meme that somebody shared with me, and it said, before God called us, he factored in our stupidity. That gave me a lot of hope and encouragement. I'm like, thank you, Lord. Because it's not in and of ourselves that we are able to help people. And the things that God uses in our own lives to help people, it can be painful. It's not always enjoyable to use things from your past to help someone else or to use a personal experience. But those things, that's how he works everything for our good, if you think about it. Those hard experiences, like losing a child, that's a hard thing to go through. But there may come a time in your life somewhere down the road where you're able to help someone else who's going through the same thing. And that is how the Lord works all those awful things for our good, because we're giving it back. We're helping someone else. We're showing them how God got us through. So I do like the fact that, you know, he equips us. He gives us what we need for each task that he wants us to do in each day. So thank you for that, Mrs. Hedgepath. We're going to take a quick break. A quick break, ladies. If I have to, I will turn the coffee pots off. And then if you need the restrooms, there's a restroom back here, and there's also one out here. There's bottles of water under the table. There might be a few in the fridge. There's also sodas and juice, anything that you need. If you don't see something you need, please ask me or ask one of our ladies, and we can help you.